few weeks, it will be a year since the jihadists of the so-called Islamic State broadcast their videos of beheadings and threatened more death and attacks against the West. In that year, the U.S. has gone from heated rhetoric to inconclusive airstrikes to assisting a hapless Iraqi military to try and dislodge ISIS from a wide swath of territory in northwest Iraq and northeastern Syria. Now the U.S. is planning to build a forward base for training more Iraqi forces with as many as 450 U.S. advisors. In all this time, ISIS itself has solidified or even made gains in its control of territory and has gone about the business of governing, using violence and making arbitrary decrees. For ISIS, governance seems to mean denying rights to women, selling some of them into slavery, punishing men for everything from not wearing observant Muslim beards to owning banned Apple products. At the same time, ISIS is providing essential services, licenses for commerce, administering school exams. The buses are running. Power lines are being repaired and restored. The health department issues birth certificates. Sidewalks are being painted. And luxury hotels, in some cases, reopened. This partial snapshot of life under ISIS can be seen in documents from an online archive curated by our first guest, Ayman al-Tamimi, who is a fellow at the Middle East Forum.
Mosul is like ISIS's de facto capital within Iraq. It's where you, I think you'll find the most evidence of ISIS attempts to present itself as an actual state administration. And so ostensibly it's something that has a health department, a services department, an education department, and so all the departments of government that we would associate with a typical state.
And how do you verify that these are, in fact, ISIS documents, that they reflect ISIS's particular jihadist notions, as opposed to just using the leftover documents that were in the offices in Mosul from the previous government?
Exactly. This is the key, I think, element of analysis that one has to apply to these documents. You can't just take them at face value and say, oh, therefore ISIS has a services department and you know, ISIS is a comprehensive state. In particular, with regards to Mosul, the services offices there, what's really happened is that ISIS has compelled people who are already working in these state service offices in Mosul prior to their takeover, has compelled them to go to work under threat of confiscating their home. When it came to the question of medical staff of ISIS's health department, it's been a matter of issuing, for example, ultimatum to doctors and other medical officials who may have fled the city to say to return within X number of days or we will confiscate your home. So it is actually, there's a degree of parasitism here in living off the prior system and then co-opting that and presenting it as a state. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that ISIS doesn't ever have its own input into this. So for example, sometimes they bring in some of the foreigners who come in to join the Islamic State end up taking on these administrative roles. So for example, a Sudanese engineer was employed to manage the dams along the Euphrates in Syria. I would say actually that probably in terms of genuine overhaul, it's taken place most of all, I think, in education. And of course, education, considering ISIS's ideology, that's a central aspect of how they want to perpetuate themselves and particularly among the next generation. So the education department is headed by an Egyptian who was originally part of the Al-Qaeda in Iraq network. His name is Dhu al-Qarnayn. But his signature, as I've noticed, appears on these orders from the ISIS so-called Diwan at Ta'lim, which is the education department. So banning music, banning philosophy, and other subjects that ISIS would deem to be forbidden.
What evidence do you have that ISIS is actually building things or reopening facilities, some civic, medical, and even tourist?
Yes, tourism was the Warifin Hotel in Mosul, where they've even put up prices for how much it costs to stay per night with breakfast included. That actually wasn't expected. Generally, when it comes to hotels, they've taken them over and they become either real estate or they're let it out, or they turn them into accommodation for their own fighters or displaced persons. As for other facilities, well, it's quite clear that Raqqa City in Syria, which they want to parallel with their other de facto capital, Mosul in Iraq, they opened a medical college at the university level. So that's an example of the combination of, okay, how far is it just taking over price system and using what was already in place versus actually opening new institutions.
What's it like in Mosul where your family is? Can you get internet connections there? Is your family safe? Do you feel safe on the streets in Mosul if you've actually ventured back there?
Well, my family preferred life before ISIS took over. And one of my relatives said that, well, 90% of people in Mosul prefer that, but fear prevents them from expressing their true feelings. I think a lot when it comes to Mosul and how people feel about ISIS rule, a lot of it just depends on who you're talking to. And there are going to be people with different perspectives. I mean, I have spoken to at least one other person in Mosul who seems to be one of these very crude types and said, oh, life is better. It's better than under the Rafidites. Rafidites being a derogatory word for the Shia. But in terms of safety, yeah, there is this general sense that you don't do anything wrong or you don't infringe on the Islamic State. The Islamic State will more or less leave you alone. But they do have a rigid security apparatus, and anyone they think is spying or is likely to be tracked down and killed. And you see that in the official videos and propaganda output.
Ayman, how do you know you're not being manipulated by ISIS operatives who would love that somebody with family in Mosul is talking about how, you know, this is not much different than your basic, city hall operation?
Well, that is the important, then that does lead to the importance of not taking the documents at face value. That doesn't mean that every time you have to take a skeptical line on these documents, but actually I know someone in the Fallujah area who has relatives in Ramadi. He's an ISIS supporter, and he sent me a couple of documents from the ISIS department that not only deals with oil and gas, but also has a division that deals with the excavation of antiquities. But anyway, so he sent me a couple of documents. And again, it's the same pattern of just taking over infrastructure that was already there. And also, I think another important use of the documents is that we can then use it as a template for assessing how ISIS affiliates develop abroad. The point being that, you know, if you start seeing in a place where ISIS claims a presence elsewhere outside of Syria and Iraq, if you start seeing things like a Diwan at Ta'lim or a Diwan al-Khidmat or a Diwan al-Hisba, then it points to, I think, a relatively advanced stage of ISIS development.
Ayman al-Tamimi is a fellow at the Middle East Forum. He spoke with us from his fellowship program in Israel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving. With brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program, performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And Curious.com, committed to helping people learn more than 15,000 skills like Mandarin, mobile app development, and mindfulness. Curious.com. Grow your skills. Learn more at Curious.com/PRI.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.